light pouring out of darkness is how he concludes here this introduction. And he says that, how are we to interpret a world where evil, pain, and suffering permeate the ground that we stand on? Literally, it changed the world and the air that we breathe. Can we make sense of a good, wise, and powerful God in such a world, one that Christians put forth? Can Christianity offer a rational and biblical defense of the God it offers as the only hope for humanity in the crisis we face? Or are we kind of out of luck? And, you know, it was a good ride while it lasted, but there's just too much evil in the world. No one's experienced evil the way that we have. Maybe a little different. If one penetrates the black core of even the most horrendous episode of the crisis, we find something surprising, he says. Within the core, we inevitably find a hope that brightly emerges and illuminates our understanding of God's powerful redemptive work, a bold plan that transcends the pain and overcomes the crisis.
Yeah.
And almost something that you would hope to see if God is all powerful, all good, all just, and there's evil in the world.
Yeah, he says the Apostle Paul draws on a light darkness metaphor in 2 Corinthians 4:6. He says there that for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the image of light shining out of darkness, right? Light shining out of darkness alludes to the creation account, which begins as an unlit watery world, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And suddenly out of the darkness pours forth a mysterious light. So this image, he says, is subversive. We don't usually think of light shining out of darkness. We usually think of light shining into darkness, yeah. Right?
Not going to make a Star Trek reference, but there's a Babylon 5 reference, which is a darker version of Star Trek, where the opening says that this space station that's kind of its last of its kind, that's offering a hope for humanity and aliens to get together and live, it's a shiny beacon in space, all alone in the dark.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. A self-contained world 5 miles long, located in neutral territory. A place of commerce and diplomacy for 250,000 humans and aliens. A shining beacon in space, all alone in the night. It was the dawn of the third age of mankind, the year the Great War came upon us all. This is the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2259. The name of the place is Babylon 5.
It's this thing that in the vastness, emptiness of space, they come together and there's hope, there's light that emanates from it, even though there's a lot of intrigue and pain and suffering that happen. There's it's the best hope that they have for the story.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So again, taking the meta myth storytelling and applying it to things that still touch us today, because Babylon 5 is great. 5 seasons. You should check it out after Star Trek, at least the first generation, and Deep Space Nine. So it's kind of like Deep Space Nine, but a little bit darker. So
wow.
I had to get one sci-fi.
So this is a tremendous metaphor, right? This here is, we have darkness. That's the evil, right? Or whatever, not in Genesis, but what we're talking about in terms of the context that we're talking right. about. And out of this darkness, light shines, right? So God, again, uses this, right, for good. That's the basic idea, I think, right. is what he's getting at here, right?
Adam and Eve, Adam sins, the world creation falls. God just should wipe it all away, start over. Good try. You know, it's kind of the Greek story. You know, you made the Titans, and they were a bit too powerful. So you make the second generation, not quite right. Send them to, you know, be outcast. Oh, man, make them with clay. Make them a little weak. Make them able to be strong. Embody him with certain demigods that can move around the world. That's how you do it, right? Yeah. Just kind of recreate. No, that's not what happens. God has a purpose. If we understand who God is, then he's not surprising. He's not surprised. And why didn't he start over again? If he made it from nothing, he can uncreate it all again and start over again. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to tell us about that first story, right?
That's right.
He could just say, "Oh well, it was all great. It's always been great. Nothing to see here. Let's sweep this under the rug." No, it starts. It goes. He continues. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he goes on to say then in this conclusion that yet the metaphor aptly describes the work of redemption. We are not considered to expect good to emerge out of the murky mass of evil, but God designed evil so that something remarkably white and wonderful would emanate from its black depths.
Yeah.
Again, that contrast. The pages that follow in his book will attempt to highlight the wonder of this divine light pouring out of darkness. In the end, I hope we will see that there is really is no problem of evil, only an unfathomably glorious God whose wise and wonderful ways should elicit our astonishment and our adoration. And again, it's a story that God uses to turn our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He makes us, pulls us from being sons and daughters of the devil, of doing nothing but evil, and he adopts us and mm-hmm. changes us. And it's him that directs those things. So
out of the darkness comes the light here. Yeah. And notice when he says that there's really no problem of evil here, what he's not getting rid of evil. Right. He understands that. He's getting rid of the problem.
Right. God gets rid of the problem, yeah. And then we just report it.